investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth. With us this morning, we have Denise Miller, Senior Vice President.
Senior Vice President, yes.
And
yes.
We have Kayla Roebuck, Vice President.
Yeah.
I started with the senior, Kayla.
Yeah, that's perfect. No, that is perfect. Yeah.
So how are things going, Denise?
Oh, my gosh. What is it they say? If it were any better, we'd have to be twins. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dan's brother and dad always had these little one-liner things like that, you know? And, you know, I can't say some of them, but there's some really good funny ones.
Some of them are inappropriate for radio.
Yeah.
I understand.
One I say all the time, though, and Trudy Jenkins told me this at church on Sunday. She goes, "I just love when you say this, you know." And I always say, "Well, this is not a ditch to die in, you know."
Yeah.
And that's a Max Miller.
There you go.
You know, there's a lot of things to die about, but that dying in a ditch over something like that is not worth it.
There you go.
I'm not gonna do that.
Uh huh. All right, Caleb. How about you?
I'm good. Doing well. That is a lost art of the Midwest speak of those sayings. I know my grandparents and people.
Yeah.
I know there's a few of them that stick, but yes, most of them you can't repeat in public.
Yeah. My dad had a few of those too. Yeah. So every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. So be careful. There's another one for you. So
that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'll have to remember that.
Put that one down. So, all right. So, Milestone Financial, Building Rural Wealth. Is it a busy time of the year? Is it a not so busy time of the year?
It's always kind of ebb and flow. I mean, now that taxes are done, getting into summer or spring,
taxes.
Weather's nice. It's a little slower, but no, there's always something going on. And
taxes are done, and we're good to go.
Yeah, that's always a big hurdle. I'm sure many people are glad with that.
So your business is...
Well, not technically, actually. Wednesday is the
Wednesday.
So I should clarify.
Yeah.
But as we wind down, most of that, most of the folks...
It's wrapping up.
It's
light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
So. All right, we're going to talk about business. Your business is thriving. It is your plan. Okay, Caleb, set the stage here for me. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, today, you know, talking about rural business owners, professionals, you know, we talk to a lot of them, but, you know, a lot of the conversations we have kind of looks at, you know, what is financial success versus financial stability? You know, they can go hand in hand. They sound similar, but they can be very different, you know, and financial success, you know, when we look at clients and help them evaluate, you know, can be something, you know, usually pretty easy to spot, you know. For business owners, it's, you know, typically steady income over time. It's increasing their revenue. It's owning more property or land or expanding. It's their retirement accounts growing in the background or, you know, reducing debt. And that could be business owners or professionals or investors. You know, kind of you can see that on paper. It's easy to track. It's easy to kind of measure. It is that, you know, financial, you know, that financial success. But, you know, most of those indicators, you know, they don't show the structure. They don't show all of the stability of it, which is much, much harder to measure. And, you know, from our perspective, you know, that security, it's about whether, you know, what you've built can consistently support you over time. You know, if you think about it, that is the sustainability, stability of it, you know. I can't say all the time. It doesn't really matter how big a pot you got is. It's kind of how fast are you spinning it, pulling it down. So
I thought you were going somewhere else.
I could have pulled a different reference from one of those sayings.
Okay,
that
I'm with you. Yeah,
but so like when you're looking at that financial stability for business owners or for professionals, you know, you start to look at different set of questions. You know, when could work become optional? You know, if you step back from that business, would your income actually look any different, or would it stay the same? You know, what if something unexpected happened? You know, could your household keep functioning? Or, you know, even like we're going through now, if market fluctuations are impacting your retirement plans, your business, your target date, you know, what does that look like? And, you know, many business owners, many investors, many professionals, you know, they spend 20, 30 years, you know, working at that financial success, but, you know, not you know, they spend a lot less time looking at that financial stability of it, which, you know, which is why we're here, but makes sense. But it is even more crucial to tie those things in. And, you know, that's the big distinction, that, that accumulation versus structure.
All right. So you have to explain this to me. success is loud and structure is quiet.
Well, I think we have to talk about what accumulation without definition is. And, you know, healthy balances in retirement accounts, if you've been consistently, you know, contributing to a solo 401k or a SEP IRA contribution, and you've got some brokerage accounts and they're growing over time, equity in the business itself, but no one has actually calculated what income these assets actually need to produce someday and when the withdrawals could realistically begin and how market volatility affects that timeline. A growing balance is progress, but a projected income plan is what helps people start visualizing retirement. And these plans provide an anchor for folks when the markets get volatile. Without defined targets, people tend to react more emotionally. And these plans, from an operations standpoint, you know, we've seen businesses with accounts that have, they're just scattered all over the place. And when everything's all over the place, guess what also you have? You have some chaos. And one of the biggest parts of planning is simply organizing what already exists. And it's about bringing clarity and visualization about where that consolidation makes sense. And it's about putting the pieces you've already built, you know, putting those together. And, you know, Dan and I talk to people about this all the time, especially business owners. You're guilty of that. You're guilty of, oh, we've got this here, we've got this here, we've got this here. You know, and what... You know, as you get older and wiser, you know, you realize that it is really important to consolidate, and it is really important to have a plan, and it is really important to know where you're at, not only business-wise, but on the other side of you, because you do exist outside of your own business.
Yes. Okay. I like it. We've talked a lot about clarity in the last probably couple months at this point, really, so... Connect those pieces for me, Caleb. Put those together.
Yeah, like Denise said, you know, a lot of successful people, you know, they already have those kind of pieces in place, but I would say, you know, they're maybe not organized in the right way or have those kind of pillars to support that foundation in the way that it needs to be to kind of have that proper structure. And when we kind of talk about it, we do kind of look at those core pillars, with that first one being that income clarity. Like Denise mentioned, you know, whatever you have in your account that doesn't truly answer, you know, how much can you sustainably live on? You know, so retirement's not about, you know, hitting that specific number. It's about what can that specific number produce in sustainable income. You know, for business owners, that might come from several places as well, too. Like we talked about in the context of planning, you know, it could be your retirement investment portfolios, but it could be land or rental income. You know, it could be the eventual sale of a business or transition. Could be part-time income. You know, it could be a spouse here is still working while you are transitioning or retiring. So planning for that income, you know, involves different withdrawal strategies. You know, what is the impact of inflation on that withdrawal pattern, you know, over time? And what are healthcare costs going to do? You know, that's a big one. A lot of people, business owners, employees, you know, don't even think about is their own healthcare costs, you know, in there. And again, no one can control the markets, but can you create that structure that helps, you know, remove some of that market uncertainty or, you know, gives you, you know, some peace of mind that it's been stress tested to know, you know, it can handle some volatility, which leads into pillar two is that risk assessment. You know, your risk tolerance does shift over time, but knowing, you know, what is your actual risk tolerance, where you stand today, where's your portfolio and where you want to be, you know, is very critical. You know, when you're in your, you know, 35 to 40 to 50s, you know, those market fluctuations, you know, are more tolerable. But, you know, as retirement gets near, those account balances, like Denise said, have grown because you have had that financial success. It becomes, you know, a 10% drop on a $1 million portfolio is much different than a 20% drop on a $100,000 portfolio, just because the math is, you know, much bigger and much more real, especially as you're closer. Pillar three then would be operational readiness. And what we mean by that is, you know, do your beneficiaries reflect your reality? Are your estate documents up to date? Does your spouse and your family understand the current structure? Again, which is important. We talked about whether business owners, is your spouse involved in the business or outside of it? You know, that can be a, you know, different conversation. And have you kept important documents and information organized? So, you know, that means you're operationally ready. You know where, you know, where things are at. If something would happen tomorrow, you know, what the next steps are, who's going to step in place, what that is. Then pillar four, for especially for business owners or employees, is, you know, that transition timeline. And again, this is what looks different for everybody. You know, this is where we say, you know, talking to your friend of, hey, even if you work at the same job in the same place, industry, you know, everybody's transition timeline is going to be different because it depends on your family, your spouse, you know, mm-hmm. your own needs, you know. And for professionals, it might mean, you know, not everybody wants to retire right then. It's retiring, you know, like we say, that work optional. So you could be reducing hours, you could be consulting, you could be mentoring, you know, a younger person for leadership. For those business owners, though, it is what is that business actually worth? You know, what is the transition? Is that going to be internal or external? You know, is there an internal section? Which, again, part of that conversation is figuring that out. A lot of business owners struggle just even figuring that part out.
Yeah.
You know, is there a buy-sell agreement in place? You know, kind of like Denise said, we talked to a lot of folks about this, and, you know, folks that have avoided these conversations, you know, it doesn't extend their runway. It oftentimes shortens it. So then we, you know, have to step in and kind of try to accelerate as much as possible. But, you know, there is kind of those pillars. Like I said, even if you have financial success, it's, hey, aligning those pillars so you have the right structure, so they're all kind of have that foundation for you.
Okay.
I think that's really true because, you know, people don't realize that there's a foundation.
Uh-huh.
And they don't realize all of the different moving pieces. And I find it really interesting that you just assume, well, I just assume that it's going to happen, or you just assume it's going to work out that way. And you really need a plan. Mm-hmm. You really need to talk about that.
So, yeah, the middle years might, let's talk about those. You mentioned those 30s, 40s. 50s. Let's talk about the 40s and 50s, the middle years. What are we looking at here?
Well, you have to look at some psychology.
Oh, we're
here,
getting into psychology,
you know? We're
here.
Do a
yeah.
little psychology.
Oh my.
You know,
this may be a little dangerous.
I know it is. It is, and I am not a therapist. I'm not a licensed therapist.
Duly
but anyway,
noted.
Yeah. We always have to give these disclosures. Yes, yes, so I thought I'd throw that out. So, for many business owners, the middle years are the high performance years. That's where you've got your peak earnings, your peak responsibility, and peak financial pressure. The business may be growing, employees depend on you, but your family responsibilities are still very real. And during these years, long-term planning can easily get pushed down the priority list.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why Denise kind of touched on, that's where you probably see the most financial success. Hey, you can see because, it's something that you can measure. Your account balances, the business, you know, all those things. Your lifestyle hopefully is improving too. But it's like, yeah, that structure then, if that structure's not in place as that builds, it kind of does. You can see how it kind of can, you know, lead to that, some of that oversight, or cause some gaps that makes the whole picture as you get closer to retirement, you know, not as sound.
Yeah.
And sometimes that delay happens. And because of a fear of disappointing projections. And so, you know, speaking from personal experience as a business owner,
mm-hmm.
you know, you tend to do what when you own the business? You tend to put your money back into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of get to your 40s and 50s and you go, whoa, wait a minute, you know, what have we done for us?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a trade-off. I mean, it's kind of an uncomfortable trade-off. But you have to take into consideration that it's not all about, you can't lose your identity as an employee. You're actually an employee of your business, whether you want to realize it or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to take into account and treat yourself like you are an employee. And that can be uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes it's just a lack of thinking about it. And we see common psychological challenges where you're fearful about market downturns. Oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. I can't afford to retire. I don't have enough money. I'm retiring too early. And how do I step away from something that has become my identity?
Mm-hmm.
And planning and prioritizing that clarity doesn't force a decision. It gives you options. But, you know, I'm telling you, there you get so wrapped up. And I didn't realize this till you start really thinking about these business plans and that kind of stuff. And you do. Your identity becomes that business.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you don't really think of yourself as an employee. You think of yourself as the business. And those are hard pills to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And stepping away from that is something that we've talked about in the past as well.
Absolutely.
There's a lot there. So, takeaways. Put this kind of all together for me, Caleb. What I need to boil this down to a few points I need to keep in mind.
Yeah, yeah. So for, you know, people listening, you know, that's what we do is how do we, you know, kind of implement this and what are some of those. But for people listening, you know, that step one is, you know, measuring clearly. You know, you do need to run some income projections. Take that financial success of those numbers on those statements, you know. And, you know, model it, you know, work with somebody that can model it for you, you know, of what are some conservative assumptions to stress test your numbers, you know, to make sure they work, you know, looking at different retirement ages, looking at different spending scenarios, you know, up and down, what does that look like? Are those projections, you know, they're not promises, but again, those projections give a lot more clarity, take out some of that ambiguity. And, you know, I say, you know, play out the scenarios, best case, worst case, base case, and, you know, gives you a good idea. You know, step two would be to define what is actually enough. You know, then this is what we talk a lot of people about. Again, doesn't matter how big your pot is, you know, how much do you need from it,
right?
You know, kind of, you know, clarifying that lifestyle, your values, you know, kind of what is your idea of financial freedom, you know, work optional, you know, and it's hard not to, but, you know, try not to compare yourselves to others, you know, what matters, you know, most to you. And again, that's what we say. It's all individualized. Even people working in the same business, same industry, you know, that stuff is all personal. You know, step three would be organizing, you know, reviewing those beneficiaries, those estate documents, you know, ensuring your spouse is included, knows what's going on, you know, incorporating all their assets and planning. You know, and step four is aligning that risk with your timeline. You know, Denise mentioned it, you know, making gradual portfolio adjustments, you know, avoiding those emotional responses, you know, and considering, you know, your total exposure, you know, not just your investments, but also your business concentration and all that. And again, you know, that's all hard to do all on its own. So, you know, having somebody help you that can help you through some of those things, because, you know, a lot of it is emotionally driven, but timeline driven, preference driven, family driven.
Yeah.
You know.
You can certainly help remove that whole emotional piece of that,
and
which is
fear.
Huge.
And people are fearful, you know. Well, what if I don't, you know, how do I know? How do I know if I have enough money?
Right.
How do I know?
And we've talked about it. Most regular people retire once, right?
Yeah.
You guys retire all the time. It's what you do. You help people retire. So you know what you're doing. So, all right. So kind of wrap it up for me here, Denise.
Remember that success builds assets, but structure builds resilience.
Mm.
And for many business owners, there comes a point where the focus naturally shifts from building to protecting and organizing what you've built. And if you're beginning to think about a transition, the difference between success and security, it may be a good time to define what the next phase of your financial life looks like. Always review periodically. Markets change, tax laws change, life changes, and your plan should evolve accordingly. And if you would like help in how to review and put all these pieces together or running some retirement income projections, we're always available and happy to have that conversation.
Great information. How can people reach out?
They can call us 712-623-5726, or you can go on our website, milestonefinancialgroup.com.
Make it a great day.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Nice to see you both.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of and security and advisory services.